What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 5 of the Tucson Pinball Podcast. Welcome to Wayne's World. Alrighty, so I love seeing pinball in the news and on tech articles and whatever else as much as the next guy and gal. But it's almost like 50-50, isn't it? Where they're like, hey, and they're talking about Stern. It's like, Stern is the world's only pinball manufacturer. And it's like, oh, bang head on desk. I don't know. I really don't think Stern is feeding them this stuff. I think they are trying to get a good catchphrase from, from wherever to have in their article or in their news video or whatever. And they just find another older article and it's like, oh, that's a great line. And, oh, I didn't know that. And well, it's like, guess what? It's wrong. You know, Stern is now the largest pinball manufacturer in the world. They are not the oldest. Or actually, they are the oldest. They're not the only. That's what I meant to say. Yeah. So, anyway, so what is Stern the most whatever at? Well, Stern is really good at developing and getting games out on a schedule. I mean, it's almost like clockwork. It's really nice that they do this because you can kind of get that sense of hey, it's going to come out here pretty soon, right? You know, they've got stuff coming in the works. You know they're always working on stuff. And they say publicly, yeah, we try to get, whatever, 3 titles and one unique thing, whether it's an individual one like Wonelli was, or if it's a Vault Edition. You know, they've said that they try to stick with that, and, if they go off the script a little bit, whatever. So, that being said, let's talk about some of the other manufacturers. If you're, if you breathe and bleed pinball, information and news and whatever, this is not news. But, if all you ever see in pinball is what you see on, IGN or, there was something on YouTube, and it was something out of Chicago, and they were doing, 12 or 13 different things that make Chicago, Chicago. It's like what Americana is to America. They were looking for the Chicago version of that. So just kind of getting under the microscope a little bit. And they did a really cool thing on Stern. And it's kind of like the ESPN 30 for 30. And, well, they're way beyond 30. But they, the theme was 30 items, 30 minutes long. And these were 12 for 12 or 13 for 13 or something like that. And it was 12 or 13 minutes on Stern, and they went to a couple different places in Chicago, and then they went to the Stern factory, and I think they were playing Ghostbusters, and there was the line, the world's only pinball manufacturer. No, we're bigger than that now, which is awesome. And you know what? This topic came about because Stern is currently having some issues. They're having some growing pains with certain things. And, Ghostbusters and a couple other games, they're having some issues with playfield quality. Some of the clear coat is lifting off of the inserts and, in some cases, cracking and, whatever. There's a full range of emotions and full spectrum of, is this acceptable? Is this not acceptable? Or, hey, it's pinball. There's everything under the sun. So I think that Stern is going to take care of it in some way, shape, or form. And no matter what they do, it's going to please some people. It's going to frustrate others. And then for others, it's just not going to be good enough. There is no please everybody solution. Because even if people got brand new games, which is totally unnecessary, everybody that had this issue got a brand new game, there would be people being like, well, they don't need a brand new game, blah, blah, blah. So you're not going to please everybody. So, Stern's going to make as many people happy as they can, I'm sure, at least I hope. There's two scenarios. Either Stern makes it through this or Stern doesn't make it through this. Does anybody think that Stern is not going to make it through this? I mean, come on. So they're going to figure something out, and some people are going to be happy, some people are going to be meh, and some people are going to be frustrated by it, but whatever. So anyways, because of these issues, I'm looking at other manufacturers for what do they have coming out next? The other thing that's making me look elsewhere, for potential next new machine, which it doesn't have to happen. I could, look at other stuff. But Aerosmith is a heavy rumor, and okay, cool. Kind of like what they did with WrestleMania, is where they debuted officially the Spike system. Aerosmith is, they say they're gonna do the next machine is gonna have their first LCD display, which is cool. But if it's Aerosmith, okay, cool, good luck. And then there's a couple other tables that people are talking about. One that came up today that there's some Easter eggs getting dropped on a few things, and another was for their 30th anniversary party. The flyer, it's got Adam West on there, and somebody said today, well, what if they do a retheme of Batman: The Dark Knight as the original, well, not original, sorry, as the Adam West era of Batman? And I'm like, I like those. Those were the first Batman shows I saw. I'm 31. I mean, those things are a lot older than I am, but we had them on tape, and I mean, that's cool, And if they did that, I don't really know. I'd have to see, I guess. So, but if they try to do an LCD on that, and then how would that work? Because they have a previous version. You look at Spider-Man Vault Edition, and they changed the dots, they changed the graphics, they changed some of the modes, they changed some of the audio and stuff like that. But like the package is still the same. You still have a red DMD. So what happens if you cross the threshold of platforms? Do you do graphic assets? Do you like that, or do you say, well, Aerosmith, let's just make this up. Aerosmith was our first LCD display, but we're doing a Vault Edition retheme type of thing on Batman Dark Knight, and it's the Adam West Batman, but we're gonna go back to red dots. Okay, I mean I could see it either way. I don't know. I think that'd be cool. I'd like to see it. That'd be fun to kind of check out. However, I'm not buying from Stern until they resolve their quality control issues with the clear coat and the inserts and la la la. I'm sure that that will be resolved very very shortly. It's probably, hopefully, you would imagine, easier to resolve that issue than it is to design and develop a new machine. I understand they're going to keep the line going, but yeah, fix your stuff. So these aren't in any particular order. I just kind of was like, hey, what's this is maybe it's my particular order. So the next one is Spooky. Spooky Pinball is based out of Benton, Wisconsin, and where Stern does, they do 400 or 500 LEs. Spooky Pinball has not made 400 machines yet in a couple years, and that's not a put down or anything like that. I have no idea what it is. Maybe it's just the way Charlie and the rest of the Spooky guys kind of carry themselves, and the integrity that they publicly exude and talk about, and then they back it up by following their word. But something has me hooked on Spooky. I am a Spooky fanboy, and I'm not quite sure why. They give plenty of reasons why, but you just want to root for a homegrown company, and they're doing it. It's gotta be hard work, but they're doing it, and that's I have no idea, but I'm very much pro Spooky Pinball. So anyways, they've got an America's Most Haunted that they made 150 of, and it was a very slow start with purchases and stuff like that. But once Texas 2015 happened, Texas Pinball Festival 2015, that was what sealed everything, and they were done at that point, and it's been full speed ahead at that point. So Rob Zombie was their next machine, and is their next machine, and they are currently they're making, what is it, 300 of those, And they, last I know, they should be around 100, 110, maybe 120, sub 120 manufactured. And, you know, so they're making a great clip on that. I just saw today that they hired another assembler, which, I mean, you can count the spooky crew on two hands. Maybe, probably, I think, you know, in that range. So it's not like they've got a huge workforce or anything like that. They are definitely a mom-and-pop shop that I am fully fully supporting. But anyway, so we already know what their third machine is, if you want to call it the third machine, because it is a spooky design. It's going to be a spooky build, but it wasn't initiated really by Spooky. It was initiated by Domino's. Yes, that Domino's. And it's really cool. They let's see, it's August. They revealed it, what, mid-June, something like that, at the annual Domino's rally, and some pictures came out, and video is, I mean, there was some gameplay video, but it wasn't ideal, but it was cool to get a sense of some video, and some, you heard some audio on there, and that was fun. It was enjoyable. I mean, there was a lot of, I was anxious to see it, because it's like, new pinballs are cool, right? But I was like, how is this gonna, you know, play out, or what? You know, it's kind of out there, you know, when you think about it. But the guy from Domino's, Adam, has been he's been chatting. He's on Pinside, and he's, you know, done the official pictures and releases and stuff like that. He's given some information, and he's done some interviews, and so you can kind of see where it's come from. It was basically at the corporate level, they were saying that we are not giving enough to our in-house charity type thing, and so we need to make that happen. And Adam's like, well, can we do a pinball machine? You know, that's very much Cliff Notes version of it. So anyways, Domino's is in existence, and it's actually going to be streamed twice this week. So it is Tuesday, August 16th, and on August 18th, Deadflip is going to be at Spooky Headquarters in Benton, Wisconsin, and they're going to be playing that, and he's going to be streaming it on Twitch. On August 20th, the Brody Even Pinball, or the Buffalo Pinball Brody Even Pinball guys are going to be at Domino's, I think it's their Domino's HQ, it's like, or their Innovation Center or something like that, but it's in Michigan. And they're going from Buffalo to Michigan, and they are going to have some fun making things, and they're going to play the Domino's game, and they're going to live stream it. So how you find either one of those is you go onto Twitch, and it's twitch.tv, and you do a search for dead_flip, and you click follow. And you need to set up notifications or whatever it is to get the notice, and put the app on your phone, and, you know, set that up and log in on there so that when they go live, you'll get the notice. Keep in mind, Deadflip streams, like, what, 5 times a week? I mean, he plays a lot of pinball. It's Jack Danger is going to be the one doing that. And Jack's a really good player. He just had a lot of good success at Pinburg. You know, shout out to Jack. He's a cool dude. You know, he's a very nice guy, and he's also very tall. I am not. He is. the Bro Crew, you need to go and find Buffalo Pinball and subscribe to them as well. And they do some great videos. If you don't already know what they do a lot of tutorials, and they have some fun. And they do a lot of just kind of impromptu live streaming of gameplay. But then on Thursdays is like their main thing. It's a tutorial. It's sometimes an interview if they've never interviewed this person. And then one guest is there, and they're going to play 4 games against one person each of the 4 people that's present from the group, the Brody Even Pinball crew. And it's a interesting format, and they kind of climb the ladder of, you know, whoever's ranked lowest at the time, that's where they start, and they move on to the highest ranked person. And and it's fun. It's kind of friendly competition, you know, but it's not super serious, that nobody's talking, everybody's, you know, there's beer, and people are chatting, and there's a little trash talking, and it's fun, and, you know, it's fun stuff. So anyways, So that's really cool. And Domino's is going to get two pretty high quality streams here in the next couple days, and that'll be fun. And I'm considering that one. I like the art. I like the way some of the shots look. I want to see, hopefully there's a little bit more music put into it, and I want to see how the game plays by some fairly skilled players, and just, you know, kind of see how it goes. And then the next question would be, what's Spooky's number four game, and when will it be announced? And who knows? And I don't know that there's any kind of a timeline on that. I don't know that, the only thing I do kind of know from an interview from somewhere that I remember, I don't even remember where, but Charlie said that he and Ben Heck, and Charlie designed Rob Zombie, and Ben designed America's Most Haunted, they're going to do kind of a collaboration on the next Spooky game. And, you know, that sounds pretty fun. Sounds pretty cool. So that's Spooky Pinball for you. There's Highway Pinball. They are based out of the UK, and they are producing and shipping Full Throttle, which is a wide-body motocross. It's whatever the motorcycle racing is. Sorry, that's how American this is. it's a fun game. It's fast. It's really fast for a wide body. I've had the chance to play it. It's an interesting layout. It was post city for a little while, and then you kind of shift everything a half a shot, and you're like, oh, here's all the ramps and, you know, all the great open shots. And I mean, it's fun, and the audio's cool. It's a tank of a machine because they have the way their cabinet's designed. A, it's a wide body, and B, I have a 69 Bally Joust, and you lift the glass straight up. You don't take out a lock bar and then slide the glass out. Everything's in a frame, and you release the lock on it, and then you lift that up, and then that gets held by a rod of some sort, and then you have access to the play field, but you can't get underneath it. And that's how Highway has done their cabinet design, and I think it's really cool. Another really cool thing they have is they have a LCD display in the play field, and it mimics the whatever you would consider to be the DMD, you know, the regular display that is everybody's looking at it pretty much eye level. Now, one of the options you have is some enormous monitor that mirrors exactly what you're used to seeing as a display. I mean, it's like Jersey Jack size. It's big, and it's just the same exact thing that's on the play field, but the player doesn't have to look up, but everybody around him can see it, and that's really cool. That's an option. You can get a smaller display. That's more the standard, but it's LCD all the way. So Full Throttle is a cool game. It's fun. It's fast. The theme is not, I don't know, it's a little, not to say it's not American, that's not very nice, but it's not one that Americans would, like, grasp. That it's more of a European type thing. It's kind of like Formula One. You know, there's people in America that like Formula One, and there's people in America that have no idea what Formula One is. And that's kind of, you know, that it is what it is. Their next theme is Alien, and the playfield looks really cool. I've seen the art, you know, the art is kind of going to get covered up by stuff, and so you kind of have to see the integration on that. But I've seen the shot layout, and that's evolved a little bit, not too much. And it looks cool. It looks like there's some fun stuff on there, and I'm really looking forward to seeing the reveal and gameplay of that. Highway did recently a get to know the company type video, and they interviewed every single one, I would assume, every single person that works there, and they just said, you know, hi, my name's John, I work in, you know, electrical engineering or whatever, and I designed all the circuit boards or whatever. And then, you know, they went through everybody on the team, and it was really cool because a lot of times, you know, it's like, hey, let's see who's making these games. And so the second to last guy was the mechanical design engineer, and they kind of had some not so candid shots of him like hovering over the playfield or whatever, or looking and inspecting stuff. And in that video, you got to see the bottom half of the back, or the head, I mean, with the back glass, which is just a small piece because, again, you have the giant monitor option. And so you could see like the bottom half of that giant monitor, and then you could see like maybe the last quarter of the play field, and it looks really sweet. So I'm pretty excited to see that. It's a little bit more higher of a cost game than Stern and Spooky, but the value's there. I see definitely see value. The build quality that I've it's tangible. And what people are saying that own Full Throttle is like it's a stout machine. It's robust and reliable, which is good. Da, 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 da. So yeah, then there's Dutch Pinball, and they are making, guess where they're from? They're making the Big Lebowski, and right off the bat, I have to say that the sticker price—it's just too much for me. It's $10,000, and I think maybe plus shipping. And I just—I don't know. My threshold is a fair amount below that. However, I have played it at shows a couple times. I know of at least one person within Arizona that's getting it. And I have to say, I think that display size that they have chosen, I have no idea what the size is on it, but it's very ideal. I would almost say it's the perfect size. It's not a giant monitor that is just like way, TMI to the nth degree. It's sensory overload trying to look at that. And some people like that and some people don't. But what Dutch has in there on Big Lebowski is a really, it's a great size. I don't know. Maybe at some point we'll get to, everything's a 27-inch whatever on the in the head, but until then, what they've chosen is good. I don't really like that it just kind of scrolls through lane after lane after lane of a bowling alley, and I don't really like the call-outs. I gotta say, I'm sorry. I know that guy is just got like a golden voice, and I can't even remember his name right now, but it's monotone. It's the perfect voice, but it's always just the same way. And it's like pinball is all about inflection. When it's not that hard to get multi-balls going, and you can stack multi-balls because it's just the different characters, you complete their names, and then you hit the shot and it starts whatever multi-balls you've built up. It's kind of like in Medieval Madness when you've got Joust and Damsel and stuff like that, and then you hit that Merlin shot, and it calls out everything, and boom, you're in one, two, three, four, whatever multi balls, and it's very much like that, and that's cool. That's a proven formula for doing main things within the multi ball. However, when you have Merlin going like double super jackpot, there's huge range of emotion and inflection there, and when you've got the whatever the guy's name is going jackpot, jackpot. It's kind of like in Mustang where it's like half those callouts are kind of full of emotion, the other are just like jackpot, jackpot. It's like really? I mean, come on, that's a hard jackpot shot, That's a super. Come on, give me some stuff. Anyways, so the first time I played it, I actually really didn't like it at all because the flippers were very weak. This was in Texas in 2016. Flippers were weak on the machine I played. The machine right next to it was perfectly fine. Bad luck of the draw, whatever. So you could only hit the lower playfield stuff. You could never hit the ramps, and it was just like, nah, okay, whatever. It felt really nice. It's visually, it's very well put together, and the art package is very nice. There's key lines on it. Which was just black bordering on everything, and that's pinball to the core, but it wasn't like cartoony. It was just a little bit. I don't even know how to describe it. It's a little cartoony, but not all the way. And I mean, the art's cool. You got me on the art. I really like that. It's just the rest of the game and $10,000, So, anyways, and lastly, we come to Jersey Jack Pinball. Jersey Jack is based out of New Jersey, and they make probably the best looking package as far as what a game is currently in pinball. They have Wizard of Oz, which I don't know. Some people really like it. Maybe I just don't know how to shoot that game. I mean, there's the ramp, and everything else is just kind of like putting the ball back in the middle of the playfield and kind of a little out of control. But it's a visual masterpiece. It looks really nice. And it sounds nice. Aside from the constant, you know, we're off to see the wizard, try to get that out of your head, you know, after listening to it for an hour or two. But, you know, the sounds, like the audio and the because it's got a giant monitor in the head, and it has sections of information, and then you have, like, the main display area where they show you the most rapidly changing information. And, like, if you hit something, they'll play a cutscene. Like, they've got the flying monkeys. You know, you hit the shot, and you go, and there's the flying monkeys on the back glass, and you know, it's there's that. But then there's also, you know, the horses and their colors, and then you've got how many times or how close you are to rescue, and rainbow, and all this other stuff. Like, it has its own area of information, and the first couple of times you play, you're just like, I don't even know what I'm looking at. But you kind of get used to, you know, you hit something and you want to check your progress. You're like, I look upper left for this information. And that's kind of nice. And on The Hobbit, they just took everything and went even higher. Because on The Hobbit, you have one of the most amazing looking playfields ever. And it's so nice looking. And the back glass, again, that display, it's TMI until you learn what to do, and then it's just like, wow, there's so much here. And you know what? The based on the programmer's history, you're going to have, Keith Johnson, you're going to have a lot to do in these games. And the one thing that I prefer playing The Hobbit over Woz, because Wizard of Oz, because it's easier to... It's a little bit more flowy. I mean, let's say what it is. It's a little bit more flowy, but it's a wide body, and there's nothing really kind of in the middle, and it gets a little floaty. But it's not as chaotic as Woz can be, and I don't know. I still don't have that, you know, that grasping feeling. And I actually have to correct myself, because there is stuff in the middle of the playfield, and that's the reason why I don't like this machine. So you have those four, like, troll, orky, whatever. There's a spider, there's a whatever. Let's just call them the trolls, because that's what Medieval Madness has. But instead of two, there's four of them. And there's two inlanes on either side, and I think they've kind of nuked this a little bit, but in older versions of code, depending on which inlane you rolled through, that lifted up a troll on the opposite side. So, like, if it came in through one of the left inlanes, it lifted something on the right edge or the right side of the playfield, and so that would be a crossing shot into those characters. Now, that's really annoying if it happens every single stinking time, just because it's in the way, you know? And I think they've toned that down a little bit, and they have improved these things over the trolls from Medieval Madness, though, because a shot, like, if it hits it in the back, it still has a switch on that side as well that will register. That's cool. I can appreciate that part. What I don't like is the fact that it's still in the way, and you see pictures fairly often on this Stucky Ball Facebook group showing pictures of, you know, balls getting stuck in various places on pinball machines. I see a lot of things getting trapped when the ball hits it and the troll drops down. The ball doesn't bounce back far enough and it gets wedged in the top plate that covers when the troll's down. It gets, like, stuck in that spot. And it's not the machine pulling it down. There's spring and gravity that's kind of pulling that down. It's not like that's an energized coil or anything, but all of a sudden you've got a stuck ball situation. And I don't know. I don't think those mechs are designed as maintenance-free, as operator, you know, requirement for... I mean, I'm sure it'll fix itself in a ball save or a ball search situation, but Who wants that? You know, I've played games where it's like, oh, the switch doesn't register in that out hole, so just wait for it to go into ball search, and it'll kick it back out for you. Hey, thanks, that's a major shot on this game, and every time I hit it there, I have to wait 15 seconds. Next. So, anyways, like I said, they're beautiful machines. They just don't, I don't know. They don't play the way I prefer to play. I don't know, but some people love them, and you know, owners like them, and you know, good. That's what's great, is there's something for everybody, and you know, whatever. So, and there's one thing that JJP is still doing that drives me nuts, is they have these raised buttons on the playfield, and on Wizard of Oz, it's for, what is it, the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Lion. And every time you roll over the respective button, it adds a letter to that character. And that's how you light those three locks, is you spell Tin Man. So, you know, you roll over that, T-I-N-M-A-N, and eventually it'll say, you know, Tin Man lock is ready, or whatever, and then you shoot it up the ramp. And it's the same button style that was on World Cup Soccer. And I understand that you might need some variation, you know, in the game, you know, in order to manipulate the ball a little bit, otherwise things are too under control, I guess. I have no idea. But, you know, there's a magnetic sensor underneath the witch in WAZ to register when the ball is in that area. The witch reacts and that switch is triggered, and, you know, the game does whatever it needs to do. Why can't you do that for these things too? Because on The Hobbit, one of the skill shots, I guess if you, because you have these green buttons and it's L-O-C-K, and that's how you light your locks, is you roll over each one of those one time, and that lights your first lock. And the way the plunge happens is it kind of comes out and it arches and kind of does this rainbow thing from right to left, and if you roll over all four of them, it's some, like, awesome thing. And I don't know. Why is that not a magnetic sensor underneath the playfield? Or star rollover. Those impact the ball less, you know? They get rolled over and whatever. But these things, you know, you have a slow ball, and it kind of catches the edge and goes around it. So, no thanks. And game number 3 from Jersey Jack, if it's what the rumors are like, it's a non-licensed thing. It's Pat Lawler, which everybody's been drooling over for years now. I don't know. I'll have to see it before I make any decisions on that, but I don't know. I'm not getting super warm fuzzies on that right off the bat. And, you know, Stern has their production scheduled down, and they know exactly what they're doing. And Jersey Jack is getting there, and on a recent interview, I saw that he said that they make 300 games a month, which is a pretty good rate. However, they don't have the best track record when it comes to getting games out through development. You know, getting in production, once you're in production, is not necessarily the issue. It's getting them in production that's, you know, Jack's area to improve upon. So, anyways, those are the major manufacturers. I know there's lots of one-off guys making machines, which is really cool on the hobby side of things. And I'm sure there's other. Oh yeah, there's Homepin, which I completely forgot about. They're based out of Australia, New Zealand, Australia. Australia, but they're actually manufacturing stuff in China. They've set up a factory there because China has really weird import laws, which you can't import anything. You have to make everything in country. So they're starting from scratch, and they're making, every part of that machine. So that one, that's Thunderbirds, and we'll see what comes up there. But sounds pretty cool. And I don't know, that wasn't really, I mean, it's a show that was before my time, and I don't know. I mean, I've seen Team America, and I highly doubt this is going to be anywhere near Team America. If they made a Team America pinball machine, I think that would be like having Rob Zombie on adult mode, and I would be all for that, because, you know, that makes you laugh. It's highly inappropriate, but it makes you laugh. So, anyways, you know, so, okay, there's more than even my initial notes had, so sorry, Mike, at Homepin. I really look forward to seeing what gonna reveal, and you know, the fact that there's so many pinball manufacturers out there is a good thing for the hobby. It's a good thing for everybody, because it's nice when one area is not driving all the new ideas, you know, and there's something for everybody at every price point and design point and options list and non-options list. And, you know, it's more, and in this case, more is better, and it's also proving the point that Stern, while they are a pinball manufacturer in the world, they are not the only manufacturer in the world. So that's it for me. This one ran way longer than I expected to. Apologies for that, but, you know, thanks for joining me. Party on.
Party on, Wayne!
Party on, Garth! It's Wayne's World! Wayne's World! Party time! Excellent! And we're clear.